In this initial introductory look, I delve into a general discourse on the topic that is brewing in my mind. The concept of the corruption saturation effect is that society has a limit. Society has always had a limit, and the more civilizations evolved, the more that limit became stretched, contorted, and confused. The idea that society was an interconnected piece of natural majesty which simply knew what it wanted is fanciful if we consider it now. In the past, people perhaps had an idea of what was what, but felt powerless to do anything until they couldn't take it anymore, no longer cared, and simply exploded. I'm not certain how much more complex human interrelationships have become. Our stories still focus on the same topics the ancient Greeks considered, so I won't assume we have advanced on every level. With regards to natural awareness, however, I would say we have definitely regressed, and perhaps this has allowed the natural limit society would normally have possessed to be stretched further, to be further analysed. What is clear, however, is that modern society is capable of accepting a lot more crap, as long as it can allow itself to be entertained somehow, elsewhere. The need to demand justice, fairness, quality of service, respect, compassion, understanding, at least half an attempt to do the job of leader, are no longer necessities. This podcast starts a discussion about all of that. Enjoy.
Pek kod welo mabiro e tuanda mic dong paro dit kod jok mawuoye tuanda mic seche tim sud buta wawinjie tuanda mic wala wachokre wabed piny bi wawinje ero chako domomit ndi and a mic podcast makende.
I'm going to call this the corruption saturation effect. Why did the ancient civilizations fall? I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I'm driven to the point of despair with humanity at times. With such an insatiable capacity to express and exhibit passion and wonder, why do we so often fall at our own hurriedly assembled hurdles, shrug our shoulders at the mess, and walk on without a flying care? So what I do is think about what is going wrong today, how long it has been going wrong, and how it is possible to continue going wrong, despite all the problems being there for us all to see. So I think back to some of the stories and histories I have heard and read, and I think, what happened to them? Here are a few thoughts, incomplete ruminations. Why was it that after decades, centuries, or millennia, societies that spanned immeasurable miles across lands and seas, empires that ruled with absolute power, and which grew so strong on the backs of vassal states, formidable armed forces, and unparalleled intellect, stolen riches, were incapable of holding on to what they had built? How often has this happened? We can all reel off a few civilizations without trouble. Babylon, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Sparta, Greece, Rome, Assyria, Etrusca, Persia, the Aztecs, Incas, just naming the famous ones. There are untold others that we have never heard of, or perhaps never will. Some of the lesser known ones would be the Aksumite, the Khmer, Göbekli Tepe, Angkor, or Olmec. There are more than these, though, because ancient civilizations were more than just single entities. Look at the community around you now. You have any number of smaller groupings or clans or companies or clubs. These smaller entities are the building blocks of larger ones. There is no grand society without the smaller ones upon which the greater and greatest perch. Through generations, families merge and meld, and some are lost to the process of time. Some don't have heirs, some die out through disease, some marry out or in. As the vast majority of families are either poor or without recognizable assets, their passing is unremarkable. Larger, richer, famous, once successful families and businesses that go through the doors of failure and creeping obscurity are more notable, naturally. There is a sense of newsworthiness. The people who had it all then lost it. The ones who squandered their treasures. The businesses that failed once too often and too much. These are the ones that history records. Doing so serves a number of purposes. It entertains the poor and gives them someone above them to ridicule. It justifies the role of elected politicians because they point at the fairness of society. It serves the interests of the aristocracy as it reminds the middle classes of their ponderous positions. It serves the elite business people who prop up the aristocrats with loans and investments. And finally, it provides the robber barons with more wealth, more victims, and more power. So what does that all mean? Who exactly is doing what? To whom? It's like a cheap thriller with more twists than a mountain road. But in the apparent complexity is in truth a simple message. Society is an onion, a very large and multi-layered onion. What we see, the messages we are given that convince the majority of how they should think and behave, is merely the first layer. As we go through the pungent layers, eyes tearing up in the process, we go through the many levels of society we all know mostly about. We have the work too hard to care category. Then the want to demonstrate peacefully crew, that's where I am. We then have the know about corruption and have read Il Principe and will therefore accept Niccolò Machiavelli's views on the needs of corruption. We keep going through aristocratic leeches, political charlatans, successful actors, singers and sports stars and chat show hosts, authors and political influencers. We're still not even that deep. But you get the message. This is all in the public eye, and they all play a role. What is the role? Who gives it to them? Have a think about that, I'll wait. Yeah, I'm still here. The crazy thing is nobody makes these decisions because the system is self-fulfilling. It organizes what needs to be organized and caters for every aspect of our control. In the movie The Matrix, the kid says, "There is no spoon." He wasn't kidding. That's exactly it. We're looking at society and pointing out what's wrong. What we should be identifying is what has replaced the object of our attention. If there is no spoon, what the hell are we looking at? There are curtains over curtains over curtains. So what are we looking at? We're not looking at curtains. Why would you look at curtains? Curtains are there to keep unwelcome eyes and occasionally the sun out. Who goes out of their way to look at curtains? We are looking at our leaders, but not seeing leaders. We are looking at politicians, but they are not politicians. Not in the traditional sense, traditional being overused and a practically worthless adjective. Not in the real sense. They are not leaders. They are business people using their roles in open society to create wealth for friends who in later years will return the favor by providing them with lucrative positions. The merry-go-round of corruption continuously buttering financial comrades is in full swing. So why can't we see it? Oh, we can see it. So we accept it. We are given something else to focus on. Many something else's, actually, because past societies, past civilizations, only gave the people pane e giochi, bread and the games. Clearly that was not enough. We needed to have more than that. We need to have buy-in of our own. We needed to be invested, more than invested, in the interests of the subterfuge that was turning our attention away from the causes of our own suffering. We need to be veiled from the truth of society because we are not strong enough to handle that burden. We need our betters to do for us what we are too stupid, too blind, too incapable, too inefficient, too nice, too respectful, too accepting, too understanding to even consider doing ourselves. Our leaders are party to crimes all around the globe. They always have been. By focusing on what others have done, we absolve ourselves of our own failures. Think of Boris Johnson. He made out he was a hero in Ukraine fighting the oppression of the Russians, all the while setting the scene for oppression. Yes, preventing people from protesting and limiting freedom of the press are forms of oppression too, at home. But party apparatchiks came out defiantly comparing him to a Churchill. Racist dude, but won a war. When today we talk about Gaza and the genocide there, and then skate over it to see what's on TV, we've been conditioned to do just that. When we see that Diane Abbott isn't even allowed to speak in the political institution she has been a member of for decades on the issue of racist remarks aimed at her, and we wave criticism away without battering down the doors of hypocrisy and systemic racism, it's because we have been conditioned to what these not real leaders' leaders have been telling us for years. I refuse to accept that the electorate is stupid. Yet I have to accept that we are very capable of acting stupidly, and in fact do so very often. In our professional capacities, we are objective, driven, aware, observant, and critical. Yet in the field of selecting people to represent us and deciding which points we'd like to hold these charlatans accountable, our objectivity is on the loo reading a good book. This monologue has gone on enough for now, I think. I will be back with a few more monologues to address specific points raised here, as well as a few other points. I'm beyond being silent on topics of political and social necessity. Too much ground has been conceded. It's time to bring the noise. Two and a mic clocking out.
Two and a mic. Two and a mic.